My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song. My name is Velocity Child. You're listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm very excited to say I am sitting here with a fallen woman virgin, Victor Devon.
Hi.
And then some veterans, Femme Appeal.
Hey.
Cher Noble.
I prefer fallen woman slut.
Oh. Okay.
Experienced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fallen slut or fallen woman slut?
Either one.
I like fallen slut.
Fallen slut.
Yeah.
I wonder if the .com for that is available. So, tell me about show ponies, Victor.
I was saying to Velocity before the show that Sweetie, who is no longer with us, was a fabulous drag performer in the New York City area. Used to host the New York Boylesque Festival, and one of my favorite memories of her before she unfortunately passed only this winter spring was she would introduce and she would be like, "And this is Mr. Gorgeous. He is what we used to call a show pony." And the audience would only slightly like respond. They were more entranced than they were specifically responsive. So Mr. Gorgeous is an example of a show pony. And
I like it.
I think it's very evocative. But sort of like that old school, like every person, they would dance, they would stay. It's like a triple threat.
Yes.
A show pony.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
But with like some glitz. Some glitz.
Yeah, of course.
I'm the triple threat of diversity hires right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so?
I am black.
Uh-huh.
I'm a woman.
Uh-huh.
I'm 50.
You're 50. Did you just have a birthday, Femme?
Which is shocking because you still look like you're in your 30s. It's insane.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
But the next time you have an entertainment thing that you're putting together and you're like, it's New York City. I want to check all the boxes.
Yeah.
There are a lot more boxes.
Sexism, ageism, racism.
You too. That's your new tag. But Femme Appeal checks a lot of the boxes.
Yes.
If you could check one more box, what would it be?
Ooh.
Ooh. That's like a good one.
That is a good one.
What other box would you check?
Do you need a member of Mensa?
Tattoos.
A what?
That's true. You are alternative.
You're alternative.
Maybe I have a high IQ.
Maybe. When you feel you're ready to express that for everyone else, you will let us know.
My best friend always said I was Mensa. I always thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
What boxes would you check, Cher?
Currently or ideally?
In general,
I think my new brand is like metrosexual bro.
Okay.
because I've been playing around with makeup a lot more lately and like wearing it to work on a more regular basis.
And you work at
Ricky's.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Ricky's NYC. I've been wearing a lot more makeup at work and just in my daily life. I wear it at really weird times, like I'll put on a full face to go to the dog park,
uh-huh.
And then I'll like come home and wash it all off again.
Road testing it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Workshopping.
But a lot of men that wear makeup now wear it as a woman would, like,
uh-huh.
They cut a crease into their eye, they draw on an eyebrow, and it's all very pretty, very feminine.
Uh-huh.
But I've been trying to do more of, like, a
And you wear it with a beard sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time. Unless I have to do drag, I usually have some sort of facial hair going.
Yeah.
Have you ever done bearded drag?
A few times.
It's very in.
I never did it to where... I did one time where I just didn't shave. It was like 2 days worth of growth.
Like,
but
what you
I
have
used
now?
I used hair extensions as a fake beard for like an Amish look. But I've only done like my real beard a couple times.
And have you put glitter in it?
No, I've never colored it.
See?
That's why I don't think I ever liked it. It was because
okay.
I never did
still
it properly.
Exploration to be done.
Right.
Tell me about your Amish piece.
It was for a Rumspringa themed party.
What?
What? I didn't even understand those words.
Rumspringa?
That's when the Amish take a break from being Amish. And
oh.
It's like spring break.
The thing is,
and this
Femme
is when
Appeal
they decide whether they
want to
be Amish for the rest
of
their lives.
But I can totally believe that Femme Appeal is bullshitting me, but I
no,
just
she's
mean,
right.
I know. That's
me.
What's throwing me
it's
off.
Sort of, like, when,
it's hard to
basically when Amish people don't get baptized, they get saved when they decide to be Amish. So at the age of like, I don't know, 16 or
yeah.
something,
so
they are sent out of the Amish community into New York
the
City or whatever.
World.
And they have to live for a while and then decide whether or not they want to come back. So most
like...
of the time they like leave and become meth addicts and start drinking a lot. And then eventually just go back to
I just
being
assumed
Amish.
That was like an MTV reality show concept. I didn't know that was...
right,
oh,
right. No, it's
yeah.
so funny
yeah.
that it,
yeah.
it does sound like Spring Break, Run Spring
Well, I think there was even like a show where they're like, what if the Amish are out?
I think
but I'm like,
did.
Oh, but they made them go out into the
I
world.
I did see
no,
a documentary on it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
definitely.
A life of
majority.
No electronics.
I think you're, if it's familiar...
Mechanical...
I guess it's how fearful you might find the world, or...
Well, I think it's sort of like prison. Like, once you leave a community like that, you don't...
It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
You're not able to function in the real world.
Yeah, it's like
yeah.
you're only used to what's familiar. It's
well, what if they're...
Nothing
right?
against Amish
No,
people.
But what if they're right, and we're the ones...
For any religion.
What if we're the ones, and the reason that they go back is because they see all of this, or like...
Other than
would,
the women being
why
the
would
subservient
we do this?
To men thing, then they might be right. But outside of it, no, they're not right in that department.
Well, do you think the women know that that's weird? Or that since they're raised that way.
No, of course they. It's like veal. They wouldn't know.
I don't eat veal.
No,
I don't eat veal either.
It's
the weird.
One meat.
The
I
Amish
can't.
of the beef world.
They're
yeah.
too pure for
the
me.
Female yeah. Amish of the beef world.
Yeah.
See, that wouldn't stick on a poster really well. That'll never work on a campaign.
So, 16. 16 is when I was baptized, and I had to, yeah, I was late. I
what
was
faith?
Old. You were baptized?
A Baptist.
I did not know this.
I went to church every Sunday. I taught Sunday school as
what?
An older thing, like when you're...
What?
You,
I
you
know.
Have to, you have to do
service. You guys
service.
Could see out there in Radio Land the head roll that Victor just
Sorry,
did
just
with the double take.
Do you
I'm
think
right
I'm not good
with
children?
No.
It's just teaching Sunday
it's,
school after seeing you
I'm
on
imagining
stage.
Literally
oh,
you
yeah.
dressed as
Mike
Abraham
Myers
Lincoln. Or the creature
yes.
from the Black Lagoon doing
it.
It
didn't last long.
Metropolis.
It
yeah.
didn't last long. I discovered things like hypocrisy and just...
it's hard to make... It's hard to sell that, yeah.
Oppression
yeah.
and other... And I'm like, I'm done. But I did it, and... So here's what's really cool about it. I spoke, I did debate, I did all this stuff. I spelling bee champion 2 years in a row.
Wait,
so
speech and debate, was this part of the Sunday school?
No, this
is
separate.
The school.
But
I can't imagine how that would go down.
For your baptism, there was a panel and you had to speak in front of the panel. About why you wanted
to give your life over to Christ.
Like, you had to really, and I'm like, I got this. Because I could talk about anything, and I could lie.
So I'm saying, that's why I said it's because Femme Appeal looks at me and she's going to sell me a bullshit lesson. And, I'm ready for it.
I talked about the troubling times of being a teenager and peer pressure in high school and the struggle between your upbringing and your peers who come from God knows where. You know, and they're there trying to influence you on your shoulders. And I said, and I believe being baptized will give me further structure on my path. Because I want to be a good person. And I want to do the things you're supposed to do.
You have me convinced right now.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And they
you
were
would
like,
make a really good, like, speaker, like, on the circuit.
Attorney, too.
Remember the guy from Seinfeld?
Which one?
Something Childs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The one who listens to Johnny Cochran.
The fast talking.
Yeah, the one who's like Johnny Cochran.
I'd be that dude.
Yeah.
Stylish and fast talking.
Yes, totally.
And you're like, do you know what you're saying right
Jackie,
now?
Jackie Childs.
And I'd be like, I do not.
And that would still work.
And then what happened at 17?
At 17, I lost my goddamn mind.
See? It didn't stick.
But
you mean they went sane.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
You enlightened.
It feels like losing your mind, though. It does.
Right. Yeah. But then I didn't want any church around me at all, ever. And, like, my grandmother, I told her off. I said, this is the place you go to every Sunday, but Monday through Friday, you're kind of an asshole.
See, this is the kind of thing I don't understand. Okay, so I was raised by two ministers.
Okay.
So this is my...
What?
I know, yeah, I know.
You guys are blowing my mind.
Buried the lead there.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But what I'm saying is that my response to Christians who do not behave Christ-like is, fuck you, go feed the poor. Like, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to spend time on homophobia, you want to spend time on demeaning women, you want to spend time on all of these other things, ignoring what a socialist...
Xenophobia.
Yeah, what a socialist your Christ is.
Right.
With his fish and his loaves.
Right.
Like, this is part of your dogma.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
Yeah.
So I get hypocrisy really gets under my nerves.
It was a big one for me.
Yeah. I mean, I was very lucky because I was raised by two. My father was a minister first, and my mother became a minister when I was an adolescent.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went to Catholic school. But I went to I went to Catholic school because my...
All angles.
I know. And I was queer. Queer as fuck. And weird. Queer as fucking weird.
Yes.
Just, well, nothing's changed.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
I wear makeup now, but and my skin is a little clearer.
You own it.
But, it took some time. It took some time. But my parents raised me with, like, really amazing core values that I didn't even really think about at the time as values. In that, respecting the people around me, and not only respecting people around me, but respecting the people I had yet to find.
Right.
And so when I find people who fail my parents' expectations, because I'm good, like my parents, as much as they want me to be giving and loving and care for my neighbor and all of this stuff, which I try to do when I can manage that time, That's a low bar. That's such a low bar. Jesus basically just, like, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Don't judge is literally the least you can do.
Right.
So, my father is very Unitarian in his mindset, which is very inclusive, and he included people from paganism and from Judeo-Christian learnings and Catholicism that didn't work out. But, and my mom is, like, the first time I ever talked about how she believed in the resurrection as a metaphor. I was like, but you can still be a minister and do that? You can still talk in metaphors? Like, that's okay? Like, I thought you had to go, like, all in literal.
Yeah.
She's like, no, we're not fundamentalists. That's not what we do. Yeah. That's true. You work in parables. That's literally what Jesus did all the time. So I respond to that.
And what is a parable?
A parable is usually a lesson that is tied up in a short story. That's
okay.
Sort of, yeah. Sort of like a gesso story, like in a...
I used
to
like the Grimm's Brothers.
Sunday school.
Like the Grimm's Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I mean those are really sort of morality.
Or Run with the Wolves.
Yeah. But like the prodigal son, sort of like
yes.
The person, the son, the ungrateful son who went away, when he comes back, bring him back in, he's still your son. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or the parable of the loaves and the fishes, or the parable of Noah, or the Garden of Eden. Some
or
people don't agree with those
frog
parables.
And
there's
the bitch named Lilith.
Turtle.
Well, see, I didn't know Lilith. You know when I learned
frog.
Who Lilith was? When Sarah
that
McLaughlin
actually
came
is,
out. That's
that
Lilith.
Actually is a painting
I know,
of Lilith. That's Lilith up there.
I didn't learn who Lilith was until Sarah McLaughlin came out with the Torah.
Oh, Lilith.
And then I asked my mom, and she told me. She was like, oh, yeah, this is the person. I'm like, why
yeah.
did I not know this person?
Adam's first wife.
Yeah.
She's hanging with the animals instead.
The screech owls.
the screech owls?
She has screech owls and snakes are the
okay.
I think of her.
She reminds
familiar.
Me a lot of the mythology of Circe,
mm-hmm.
Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
on the exiled
woman.
With the animals, you know, spell casting, gorgeous. You know, she was a hellcat in the sack.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean,
we assume.
She actually anamorphed into a hellcat, though.
Yeah.
Thundercat, if you will.
Wasn't
she mating with animals in the mythology?
Oh, see, that's a deep book.
That's
a book.
That's what
story.
I read about Lilith, was that she was accused of, like, you know, she ran off to mate with the animals instead.
Mm. Were you raised with any particular religion in part?
No. In fact... I remember being sent off, as a young girl I was in Southern California, but I was born in Arkansas.
Oh.
And I remember being sent off to get to know my grandmother better, my father's mother. And long story short, she told me that like everyone in California is going to hell and my parents are sinners because they're getting divorced, and but don't worry, because there's going to be an apocalypse, and everyone's going to be called to judgment, but you're going to be okay. You're going to be sitting on God's lap. And I remember having my very first sarcastic moment, and I said, oh, like a cherry on top? And she said, yeah. Just like a cherry on top. I was like, okay. So I went home and I was like, excuse me, nobody told me we fucking died. What's this death shit? What's this apocalypse shit? People die? I didn't know people died. Well, okay, well, explain to me, please, in sane terms, not some cherry on top shit, what the fuck happens when we die? And my mom was like, I don't know. So, thanks. So, freshly divorced, her mother was hanging out, raising me when she wasn't around, like, nanny stuff, you know. And so I asked her, my grandmother on my mom's side, not knowing she was, like, a hardcore atheist, you know. And I didn't even know what that meant then. I was like, so what happens when we die? It was all within the same week. And she's like, well, she was from Arkansas, too. Her name is Clotine. She said, well... When you die, they put you in the ground, and the worms, that they eat your body, and you fertilize the earth, and there's nothing left after that. I'm like, what? So, like, within 1 week, I went from being on God's lap like a cherry on top
to eating
worm food, and then I went back to my mother. I'm like, okay, come on, clear this up, because this grandmother is telling me this thing, and this grandmother is telling me that thing. I am so confused. Like, you're just going to have to figure that out for yourself. And that's why I practice voodoo.
Mm.
So there you go.
Because it's all in your hands. It's
songs. Well, you know, it's altars and there's candles and there's deities and, you know, it's just another way of manifesting or expressing your desires in the way that somebody would in prayer. I kind of think it's the same. Mm. Yeah. Just no big beard white dude in the sky, though. It's like Santa Claus. That got debunked for me very early. I was one of those kids that told everyone in school that Santa Claus wasn't real. Couldn't wait to let them in on it.
I also got out of church by telling, like, I have the most brilliant, like, responses to things. And one of the things, as a kid, I don't want to go to church anymore. Why not? Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, and this. Reasons, yeah.
And then my mother said, yeah, but it's kind of what we do, and blah, blah. And I said, isn't it true? Church is just a building. And you can worship this person, this entity, anywhere you are. In your home.
And how old were you when you said this?
I was like 14.
Okay.
Again, that's I'm imagining.
Time. That's when snark.
I'm imagining like a little femme appeal as Mayday from View to a Kill. Like, I'm just imagining.
And what was great is like, they were like, uh-huh, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I can't argue with that. No, I'm okay.
I think a lot of people feel, I know growing up in a very suburban-y Irvine, California, everybody had a church they belonged to. And everyone I went to school wanted to know, what church did I belong to? And the moment they found out I didn't belong to any church, that was it. There was just no belonging allowed. And I think there's a sense, people are very compelled by a sense of community. To be a part of this church, but at the same time I feel like that's a lot of peer pressure and it just loses some religious or spiritual sincerity at some point.
Right.
Yeah. I just remember, like, because I said something, I distinctly remember this, was first grade or so, and I was making a point in, like, circle discussion in the class, and I was like, well, everyone goes to church on Sunday. And there was someone who was like, I don't. Yeah, and it never occurred to me, because what the hell did I know? None of the people in my school, in John Lyman, this area, John Lyman School, went to church with me. So I never saw them in any other context. So I just assumed, no, I go to my pod, and y'all go to your individual pods, and you never see each other, except when I see you guys together.
Right.
And I don't know why I assumed that, but I knew that not everyone's parent was a minister, because my father was, and I knew that was at least unique in some capacity. But I don't know. When I learned that somebody was Jewish, or what Hanukkah was, because that came up during the winter months, mm-hmm. or like
when did you find out about like solstice?
Late.
Yeah.
Late. I mean, my father's really was really cool. He was
paganism's very late to the game.
Yeah, but my father is very much aware of where the teachings of Christianity come from. So he did like a double header Christmas service one year, where one service he talked about the Virgin Mary, which as Protestants you don't do.
No, we don't.
Really?
You don't do it. No.
Really?
You don't.
Well, she was there.
She exists. Yeah. But that's it. That's it.
Okay.
You don't want to get into the complication of what about
for you.
Well, yes. And also, what about maybe people who came after Jesus if she stayed married to Joseph? You don't want to talk about Jesus' siblings.
Right.
And then the second service was about how paganism created the Yule tree and a lot of other elements that were then inspired by, and how Jesus was probably born, I want to say early summer, but it so happened that someone who was in charge in the monarch sense decided it was going to be in the winter.
Chances are Jesus was a Pisces.
Oh?
That's my guess.
Okay.
Why is that?
March?
Because he was... Once BC and AD, when all that shit happened, like when nothing existed before Christ, so to speak, you know, when that time slot was stamped on the calendar. Pretty much around then, astrologically speaking, we entered the age of Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And that is now, and we are just coming out of that. Before that was the age of Aries, the Iron Age. The Roman era was the Aries Age. Jesus was the fish, the Pisces. Even if you look at the Christian fish symbol or you know, the
fish,
his
comes up
fish
a lot.
Story, yeah.
Fish comes up a lot. Even Jonah.
Jesus was fishy. Sorry, I just had to say that. He was. But yeah, so Age of Pisces has ended now. Mm. And like, you know, it's like a lot of religions are coming to the fore that don't necessarily fall in that category, some of them alternative. And this is now where we're ushering in the Age of Information and the Age of Aquarius. So I suspect his real birthday, he must have been a Pisces. That's just my thing.
Were you raised anything, Cher?
Sorry, what?
Were you raised anything specific?
Yeah. No,
not really. Non-denominational Christian.
Okay.
Did you go to church?
Watered down one. No, not really. In high school, my parents started going to church a little bit more. We went like every Sunday for a couple of years, maybe.
But there wasn't like a specific denomination on the sign?
Oh, no, no, no. Very non-denominational. Like, they talk about Jesus Christ. They have like a rock band at the church.
What?
Yeah.
That's what scandalized them. Rock music in the church. How dare they?
Oh my God.
Devils. The devil's fiddle.
No, I have a very, very non-religious upbringing. They were very spiritual. Like, they talked about Jesus a lot, but we never went to church. We never, like, prayed every night. I think we prayed every time there was a family dinner, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, things like that.
We said grace.
Right, right.
Yeah. But before you went to bed, you didn't do like that.
No, no.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
God,
I pray the Lord
did.
My soul to keep.
No, not at all.
If I should die before I wake,
see,
pray the Lord my soul
I
to keep.
I learned that prayer from Metallica. I didn't know that was a prayer. Well, because I didn't go to Catholic school until late in the game. So I heard Enter Sandman, and I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
So I was, oh no, that's what Catholics say.
I learned that from like a sleepover when I was a kid. Sleeping over at my friend's house. She had to do that before bed.
I got it.
It's a very creepy prayer.
Oh, it is.
It is, yeah.
Go to sleepovers
morbid.
And
right.
then a phone call would be made and someone would come get me. And the sleepover was over.
That's how my first sleepover
oh,
ended.
No. Apparently, I said and did things that were a little like
racy.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I was that girl too.
Yeah.
I would hear from parents, "We don't say that sort of thing in our house."
And if she doesn't like our food,
we
she
don't
just
draw pictures
eats it
like that
silently
in the house.
And doesn't say a word.
What?
She doesn't tell us it's disgusting and not the way her mother makes it.
But you
oh,
ate
no.
it. But you ate it.
So you were too honest.
Yeah.
Too frank, no filter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or the time a neighbor's daughter and I had a sleepover and I went to her place. I got, there was a phone call made and they came and
racy,
got me.
It's gonna get racy.
Apparently I said,
oh,
there's
God.
A lot of stuff in your dad's pants. Don't they just...
There's a lot of stuff in your dad's pants?
He had BVDs.
Yeah.
And they were just...
He had like camel
the khaki,
toe?
The khaki V thing.
Did he
happen.
Have like the khaki camel toe?
There was
yeah.
stuff.
And
in my
junk.
House, in my house, we wore pajamas. We were a little more modest.
Right.
Not just slapping a loaf at the place.
So,
that's really innocent, though.
But here's the thing about
that's really
that.
Innocent.
If I was 5 or 6, why wasn't this man wearing pajamas?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And what was he thinking when you got in trouble?
Yeah.
Mm, why did you
so, I've heard the word precocious in reference to me as a little kid. And I just thought, oh, I don't know what that means.
That's innocent, though. That's really innocent. I was molesting my friends in a sleeping bag.
What?
I was. Yeah, we were playing penetration games with them. I was showing them, like, how to have an orgasm.
How old were you?
Like, 8, 7, 8, 9.
Damn.
I was doing bad things with boys in the playhouse, in the playground. They used to make me sit on the yellow line at recess when I got caught. Parents wouldn't let me play with their kids often, if, you know, they might find out what happened in the sleeping
bag. Little Velocity had a reputation.
My stuff was really
hermetically
sealed.
Reputation, so severe that when I was in a jazz class in sixth grade, I got thrust into public school, and I somehow got exposed for being the freak that I was, and one day I showed up to class, and the jazz dance teacher's workout song for us was Super Freak by Rick James. And I remember very vividly, because you know how there's always that mirror in front of you when
yes.
you're in dance class, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you could see everybody in the mirror and you could, you know, see what's going on. So the whole class was starting to gradually, it just grew aggressively, singing along with the song. And as I'm looking in the mirror, I realize they're all looking at me. And they're all very passive-aggressively calling me a super freak while the song is playing. And that was because I got set up, okay? Some crazy bitchy girl who, like, was, you know, a mean girl with really rich parents. They had a DeLorean car. Remember, this would have been 1980. And I went, spent the night, and she says, hey, let's prank call people. It'll be really fun. So she pulls out the yellow, or the white pages, or whatever, the phone book. And she starts like, I'll pick a number for you, you pick a number for me. I didn't realize she was picking my new best friend, her number, because, you know, I had memorized. And I didn't realize, I just spoke to my friend's father on the phone and told him how much I wanted to lick his balls.
So she set you up.
And
she
recognized my voice, yeah. And then that was it was over. I was lunch meat until halfway through eighth grade, when I couldn't take anymore, because it was really Welcome to the Dollhouse severe at that point. I just saw a Cyndi Lauper video, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and I was like, that's me. I'm going to do that now. I'm just going to do that now. See you later, guys. So as soon as I started shaving the side of my head and started being like a complete, oh, you want to see a freak? I'll give you a super freak, bitch. Fuck you. Mm. If that's what you think I am, then fuck you. That's what I'm going to be. And as soon as I started doing that, all the harassment, the bullying, being picked on ceased.
Was it Irvine?
Yeah, because they were afraid of me. And I just kept that up, as you can see, with the tattoos and the armor. Mm. Yeah. You know, they say, like, in the wild, when you're a wild animal and you have all these extra bright colors, usually you're not a predator, you're often prey, and you're just doing that to the poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the predators will be afraid to eat you.
Yep.
Yeah.
As they should.
She said authoritatively.
Wow. So any crazy stories from the vault growing up for you, Chernobyl?
No, not really. I had a pretty decent childhood. My relationship with my family didn't get weird until I was like 18.
Mm.
That's when they found out I was gay, subsequently found out I didn't really believe in God. And
did you come out, or did they find out?
No, they like found a journal or something,
oh,
I think, something
God.
Like that.
They read your diary?
Basically.
Oof.
The worst thing is, it wasn't even a diary. It was just like weird scribblings in a like class notebook, like bullshitting, wasting time during class. Like, it wasn't even like full thoughts or anything, you know. It wasn't like
a
diary
voice.
Or a journal. It was just like bullshit. But yeah, they found that, and then they had a problem with me being gay, and then, you know, obviously they're like, so then, you know, the Bible says it's wrong. Like, what about God? And I was like, oh, well, it doesn't really work for me either. And we had a really rough relationship for years after that. I just went to Iowa to visit my family for the first time in 3 years.
I know you said your church was casual, but it sounds like they really did take that stuff seriously.
That's why it was so fucking weird. There was no church the whole time I was growing up, and then all of a sudden, God is this huge thing that is ruining my life because I'm gay.
Oh, God.
And I was
because they had all these principles just set up that
yeah.
they didn't have to think about.
Yeah, they
worry about the ritual.
They all grew up going to church, I think, but when I was growing up, they didn't. They had it already, you know.
How convenient.
Right. So that was all very weird for me. Like, I went from happy childhood to unhappy 20-something, and now I'm 30-something and, like, building a relationship with my family again.
That's good.
But, yeah, I went home. I went back to Iowa.
Recent.
Yeah, two weeks ago, something like that. It was the
Did
first time in 3 years.
Did you shave your head before or after the visit?
After. I wanted to keep
like
it kind of faggy for him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that too.
Oh, okay. You, I liked what your idea about that too.
It was both. Before I left, I was like, I could shave my head. And I was like, I'll just do it when I get back.
Yeah, cleansing.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was my first time in 3 years going back. Before that, it had been since before I moved to New York. It was like 6 years ago, something.
Wow.
But yeah, we had a great time. My mom has since divorced my stepdad and seems a lot more like the mother I grew up with as opposed to the one I fought with.
Right.
So it was all really good. Mm. My little sister is 13 years younger
than me.
Did
your mom hook up with anyone new?
Hmm?
Your mom hook up with anyone new?
Yeah, she's with some guy named Jim. He's a... house appraiser or something along those lines,
okay.
A property appraiser. So apparently he makes really good money, but
mm-hmm.
like wears t-shirt and jeans and drives a shitty car.
Mm-hmm.
He like saves his money well and doesn't spend it on junk. He does have like 2 boats, okay.
Oh, wow.
So he spends money
Go
on
mom.
Fun stuff.
Oh,
he hangs out
yeah.
with his kids. It seems really good for her. She's like a totally new person. She outdrank me on her birthday.
Oh. Good mom.
And then called me a lightweight.
On what?
Okay.
Your mom called you a lightweight?
Everything.
Oh.
Beers, tequila. I think
tequila.
We might have had some whiskey.
Just opened up the liquor.
They opened up
the
cabinet and said,
well, there.
It'll all go bad in 3 days.
And, I mean, we ended up at like a country bar. Where the guy on the TV was singing a country song about, like, doing coke and loving God or something. It was, like, very alternative country. But it was so fucking bizarre. And I was, like, drinking to have a good time at this country bar. And she outdrank me. It was ridiculous.
Hmm. She must have been really proud in that moment, actually.
Yeah, I think she was.
I think she was happy to call you a lightweight.
No, she really was. It was hilarious. Because I was like, I went outside and smoked like 3 cigarettes and was like, I'll just get a cab home. Like, I don't have to stay here for all of this. I could just go home and go to bed. And I went back inside to say goodbye and she was like, I think we're going to go. It looks like you're kind of tired and I think kind of drunk and lightweight. And I was like, okay, perfect.
That's so cute. Anyone else drink their parents under the table or light or reverse like Chernobyl style?
Not. I mean, I had my my grandmother on my father's side passed away, and she was living in Connecticut and I'm living in New Jersey. So I went to the funeral, and I wasn't driving at the time, and my mom drove me, and she went to the funeral, but my parents divorced, so. Even though my grandparents were always very supportive of anyone who wasn't still married to a family member, she wanted to, keep her own choice of whatever a respectful distance would be. So I would go, and then she would come individually or what have you. But we had dinner the night before, and I was in a state because I was not expecting my grandmother to die. It was the first real death that I had to deal with. I mean, my birth mother died when I was just under 3, but I didn't deal with that as a person.
You didn't have to be fully present yet.
And even though I learned what that meant later, because I remember growing up saying, oh, my mother's gone, she must have eaten an apple. Like, I went in that direction. I, like, literally went
like
in that
Snow
direction.
White.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, that there wasn't, and she was someone who chose to take her life. I didn't know that was an option. Like, I didn't know that was something that people did.
Well, also, I think when you're raised with a religion, that's, like, a mega sin, right?
Fortunately, because I was raised Protestant, Unitarian, leaning.
That's more Catholic, isn't
it? It is more Catholic.
Okay.
I was raised with more of a, mom was sick, and there was something that she couldn't cope with.
Like Madonna.
Yeah, yeah, there was something that was in her, and actually that's one reason that I identified so early with Madonna, is that she was someone who not only lost a mother really young, had a family member come in, and even though I got along with the woman who raised me, my father's wife, my mom, for all intents and purposes, I could identify with a lot of her lyrics or her angst, because my mom just went, and I was mad at her for a long time. I was mad at my father for not, like, fixing it, for not stopping her, because, of course, what the hell do I know? And I was mad at myself, like, I was a baby, why wasn't I enough, or what have you? But death was sort of in the past. Nobody died from all of that time until I was a teenager. Like a late teenager.
And that was grandmother.
Yeah, that was what we called Mom. That was my father's mom. And Mom was probably the kindest woman that I had ever known. Mm. I had heard her say something viciously mean about one person ever, and then ended it with, but we all have to find our own way. Like, there was that kind
right,
of, like,
well, bless
she,
her
like,
heart.
Exactly. It was very similar, except we weren't Southern. and my mom found this, the good and the kindness in everyone. And when she died, I was like, damn, what a loss. Like, what a loss. Because she really was, and I learned this
your
because my
mother
family.
Figure.
I mean, yeah. I mean, my mom, I mean, the woman who married my father, Joyce, who is my mom, when I referred to it in the present tense, is my mom. She raised me. She brought me up with fundamentals. She taught me how to speak assertively. She made me feel welcome. I never had to worry about being gay.
But your mom.
But my mom, my grandmother, she learned. When I had a serious boyfriend towards the end of her life, I invited him to Thanksgiving, and I said, I would like to bring my boyfriend. And the response was, oh, yeah, you can bring your friend. And I was like, okay, we're just going to do it. We're just going to go ahead. We're just going to do it. My sisters all knew. And according to my sister Amy, who I love very, very much, and really helped facilitate a lot of this transition, because no one was surprised that I was a
probably relieved on some level, I think.
I mean, I had someone. I was 19 at the time of this. And I never had, like, a high school girlfriend or a grade school girlfriend. And I remember my sister told me, like, oh, so Mama asked, like, so who is Victor bringing? And they're like, oh, well, he's bringing so-and-so. I'm like, oh, is that a boy or a girl? I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure it's a
what
boy,
do you think?
Mama. Yeah. Pretty sure it was a very masculine name. but they were very cool about it. I mean, again, they...
Rebecca!
yeah, it was a very masculine Rebecca. It was
Felicia.
Very... I mean, but... And so when my mom died, it was sort of like an unexpected, like, loss to see all of that. So Joyce, again, my mom, when we had margaritas, we went to some, like... She's a fan of authentic ethnic food.
Yeah.
Just as long as it's authentic.
Right.
If we're having Indonesian, she wants it made by Indonesians. If we're having Mexican, she wants it made by actual Mexican people. She wants authenticity. And we had authentic Mexican food, and we had margaritas that
authentic margaritas.
Oh my. And we had conversations that I will not relay into this.
The spirit of tequila.
That I cannot speak into this microphone. That I never anticipated having those adult conversations with her.
She's probably been dying to have them with you.
And I love that. I really appreciate that of my parents I get to know as adults. And I get to do that. And they know what I do. They know I'm a burlesque performer. They know they know my boyfriend, who I now have, and they don't seem to get involved, but they want to know about it. I'm very lucky. I've always been very lucky. Whenever I hear a story about someone being kicked out or someone being
abused,
like, yeah, it's a mess. And I don't take it for granted. I know that I'm one of the very few people who got away with that.
Yeah, I had some friends in high school that were thrown out. I would sneak in to my bedroom when my parents were asleep because they needed to sleep somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Somewhere to go.
Quick question. Can you tell our listeners where we can find you online at Cyberspace?
Oh, sure. You can find Victor Devine, fully producer. I don't know why I said co-producer.
Yeah.
But full producer and performer of White Elephant Burlesque. We're at WeBurlesque, WEBurlesque.com. I have a weekly show at Rock Bar right now on Christopher Street. We've been there more than 2.5 years.
I love it there.
And actually, everyone in this room has been there.
It's a fabulous dressing room, too, I might say. I love that
stuff. It's a lot
it's
of
more,
fun.
It's more of a stock room. But
it's got fancy, it's got some vanity lights.
It does.
And
it has lighting and it's
couches.
I do say it is nicer in the winter. It is warm in the summer. It is.
Yeah, it's balmy.
It is. But yeah, so White Elephant Burlesque, you can check there. And all my other places, you can always find me there as well.
And Femme Appeal?
I am on Twitter, Femme Appeal, Spider Monkey, Instagram, Facebook. You can like my fan page.
Mm-hmm.
I will be at Joe Weldon's Leo birthday.
Yes, I'll be there too. That's this
party,
Friday night,
this
folks.
Friday at Coney
at
Island.
At Coney Island, she turns 50 fabulous.
Hmm.
55.
I know, but it's called 50 fabulous.
50 is fabulous.
Like nifty 50, which I just turned.
Yes, girl. What?
July
28th. I still can't believe you just turned 50.
Yeah.
But we'll be performing her wish list at Coney Island at 10 p.m. this Friday night, August 4th. Share.
Facebook and Instagram for the most part.
You're Chernobyl Baby on Instagram.
Chernobyl Baby on Instagram. Chernobyl on Facebook.
Share like the pop icon. Noble like royalty. Baby like bathwater.
Which you just throw it out way.
Yes.
Thank you guys for being here. And give us a toast with your glasses. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Here's to impeachment. Love you guys.
Wow.
Chauffeur drives your car, you let everybody know, but don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. She's an heiress, owns a block in St. John's Wood, and your father be there with her. If he only could. But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. Your old man took her diamonds and tiaras by the score. Now she gets her kicks and Stepney, not a Knightsbridge anymore. So don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. Some diamonds, and you will have some others. You better watch your step, girl, or start living with your mother. So don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. Don't play.
Trust nobody, you might as well be.
Polly wants a cracker. Think I should get off her first. Think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. It's me, have a seat. Let me clip your dirty wings. Let me take a ride to put yourself. Want some help to help myself? I've got some rules you've been told. I promise you I've been true. Let me take a ride, hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. Polly wants a cracker. Maybe she would like more food. She asked me to untie her. A chase would be nice for a few. Here's me, have a seat. Let me clip your dirty wings. Let me take a ride, don't hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. I've got some rules you've been told. Promise you I've been true. Let me take a ride, don't hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. Polly says her back hurts. She's just as bored as me. She caught me off my guard. Amazes me the will of instinct. It is me, have a seat. Let me clear dirty wings. Let me take a ride, don't hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. I've got some rope you've been told. I promise you I've been true. Let me take a ride, don't hurt yourself. I want some help to fuck myself.
Ha 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 ha.